Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Fire Emblem Podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 3, and once again, I have my co-host, Shu, with me. Say hello.
Hello. What's going on, guys? It's been a long time. Actually, no, it hasn't. I'm sorry, I'm so used to saying it's been a long time, but actually, it's been less than a week since our last podcast.
Dude, so. We are so dedicated.
I know. I haven't been this dedicated in all my life. Can't even help it.
Alright, but yeah, so we're gonna get straight into the topic this time, hopefully. The topic is part two to our Corrin discussion. So basically, Corrin is in Smash. If you haven't heard, you need to climb under, out of the rock, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying. Basically, Corrin's in Smash, came out, we've played with him, and we have our thoughts, and we're ready to share them as well as hear yours. So do share them in the comments, let us know if you agree with ours or not. But yeah,
maybe
so
we'll even read them.
We will read them. Because we only get a few, right? So you're all, if you comment, basically you're super special to us, so you should comment, and then you'll feel loved. Okay, so Shu, go ahead and tell us your thoughts to start with, and I'll kind of chime in from there.
I like him primarily because of, I think I kind of touched on this last week, is that he seems like a character that you can't really compare him to characters that have already been in Smash. Like, he doesn't play in the exact same way. Like, okay, for example, Roy and Cloud, our DLC characters, when they came out, you can say, okay, they're dudes that kind of hit hard with big swords. You know, they play, I mean, they're different from, like, an Ike-type character, but same category, right? Corrin doesn't seem to fall into any category that any of the other characters are in. He plays in a very unique way with, like, a little bit of transformation going on there, a little bit of, some weird grabs, like, you could carry them into different moves. I don't know. I haven't really figured out everything with him yet, but he seems like a very open and interesting type of character.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree with that. So I was at a Smash tournament yesterday, and basically, I got to see some, Corrin players, and I kind of avoid Fuglory just because I personally don't like it, so that was kind of the first chance I got to play more than just, like, a couple of Corrins. And, like, I saw, like, there was a lot of follow-ups with kind of his quicker attacks that just don't happen for a lot of characters because of the hitboxes. So, like, down tilt into down tilt, F tilts. Obviously, his forward air and his up air are pretty good, and even his nair. So I don't know, it felt like kind of like a quick succession of attacks that you can't quite get with Marth. And then Roy has, like, that heavy-hitting attack, right, where basically if it's close to the hilt, it does more damage, but that's not really Corrin either. Ike is also kind of a heavy hitter, but with, like, a big sword, same thing with Cloud. So yeah, I would kind of agree, like, he has managed to, I think, fit in his own niche, to say. And then also, of course, he has the, dragon transformation and the specials. Even his counter is a little bit interesting. I don't know if you've had this happen to you, but I did. I was a little bit salty. So basically, I was attacking a Corrin in midair, and I was, like, attacking from underneath him, and Corrin used counter, and then, of course, the water came out of nowhere, right? And it actually hit me while I was underneath Corrin. So basically, the counter is more of, like, a spherical, as opposed to, like, a normal counter, which basically only hits, like, in front of you and, like, a little bit behind you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I haven't been hit with it yet, but I used it, and I was pleasantly surprised about what I could do with it. But I can see what you're saying about, like, we talked about how he's a very interesting character, like, in the sense that he doesn't play like a lot of the other characters. I can see why that would especially be a problem if you end up playing somebody who has, some of these dweebs that have already mastered this character, and you have no idea what to do because he moves so fast, and he packs a little bit of a punch,
Right? No, he's not super weak either. I mean, in that sense, he's kind of well balanced. You can just kind of keep throwing attacks on you, and before you know it, you have 30 damage, and Also, that side B is just so weird, the way he just kind of sticks the thing in, and then you can kind of like midair dash to the op to either direction.
When I first saw that, I was really was like, what? What's going on?
And it's got kind of a like a quick thing. It reminds me of Little Mac's side B, actually. You know how that just kind of like comes out quickly and hits you, and it's certainly punishable, but I think it's also just like a solid move in general. I mean, the way it just kind of like travels across so much of the stage is interesting.
That's absolutely true.
Right, what you got something to say?
I mean, but overall, do you see yourself playing with Corin a great deal down the road?
That's definitely an interesting question because I've pretty much mained every Fire Emblem character at some point. Obviously started with Marth and actually more so Roy in Melee. So I was a Roy main. But you know, I would sometimes play Marth too, just because he plays similarly enough. And he's actually better in Melee, like he's like pretty much objectively better.
Pretty much.
Which is kind of sad, but you know, like hey, I didn't really care, right? Because I was like 10, I was less than 10.
For sure.
So it was like I don't care, like Roy looks cooler. But he's got the flame sword. I mean, you know. And
Yeah, come
then,
on, flame
yeah.
swords are dope.
It is. And then, of course, Ike and Brawl. I was like, oh, the new Fire Emblem character, I gotta play him. And now, you know, we've had, you know, Robin and Roy, and the clone Lucina. So basically, I've played every Effie character at one point. Corrin, so with Corrin, I'll probably play them quite a bit. I don't know if I can really get good with them, though. I'm not sure. Honestly, part of it's just I need more time. Part of it's just like I haven't like played Fates in English, and I don't know. Like I kind of liked all of the original characters and the games they came from, but Corrin, I'm like he's a Fire Emblem character, but I don't know if I really like him per se. In terms of
Sure.
Smash alone, like he's all right. I still kind of need more time to see if he'd be a main. I have a lot of
Yeah.
sword user mains, so.
I think that's definitely true. Time will definitely tell with him. I'm kind of in the same boat because, like you, I've always tried to. I tend to give the Fire Emblem characters in Smash a bit more attention. I play with them a little bit more. Like you, I pretty much mained Roy in my Melee days, that's for sure. I mean, Marth and Roy were my boys. Kind of the same thing in Brawl. I really liked playing as Marth and Ike to some great degree. But it has changed in Smash 4 because I never really got into playing with Robin. I don't particularly love playing projectile characters, so I never really played much of Robin. I can see myself playing Corrin more than Robin, but at the same time, who knows? Time will tell.
I mean, he's also DLC, and I don't want to like say like Smash has died down per se, but in a way, it's characters that join at the beginning of a game feel different to me than characters that join as DLC. I can't really explain it. But it's just like unlocking them and kind of like looking at the game like, oh, there's like 8 like or like 12 new characters, whatever. I have so many to try, right? And then you basically have to pick one or two. Now with the DLC, it's just kind of like, hey, there's only like one or two new characters, so I'm just gonna like try them. And I don't know, like the only DLC character I've picked up as a main thus far is Roy, and for obvious reasons that I don't need to go over again.
Who's
So,
awesome?
so yeah, I'm not sure, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, like we both said, it's gonna be definitely a time tells. Bayonetta, though, Bayonetta is fun.
Yes, I think Blazer and I were talking before the podcast, and I think we both came to the conclusion that we almost kind of prefer Bayonetta to Corrin. Even though we're big Fire Emblem fans, Bayonetta is really fun to play as.
Yeah, I know we said Kurin is unique, but I would say Bayonetta is even way more unique. Just with the hitboxes after every attack, she can keep shooting her guns, and basically she's not really like any character as far as I'm concerned. People have compared her a little bit to ZSS, but if you really look at it, like there's only a few small
Yeah,
similarities.
that's almost a stretch to me. And
Yeah, it really is. Like they have
I'm very
similar
surprised
bodies,
with.
but.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying they have similar bodies, but that's about it.
Well, I was gonna say is I'm pleasantly surprised with at least this particular set of DLC. If you know me, you know I'm a big fan of DLC in Smash. But this particular set, even if you don't end up liking playing as Corrin or Bayonetta more than a Cloud or Roy or Mewtwo or whatever, you have to admit that these two new characters are very, very unique in the way they play. And that's what makes them kind of a cool addition to Smash, is we're kind of seeing characters that we haven't really had to
No, I
experience.
dig that. I dig that. I mean, like some people are maybe thinking Wolf, but I mean, Wolf would probably be kind of similar to Fox and Falco again. And part of that is not that necessarily that they couldn't give him a new moveset, but it would kind of be a similar deal with Roy in that like people who played Wolf and Brawl would not like it if he changed too much, right? They're like, oh, I'm already used to like the Brawl Wolf. If you change him too much, I'm gonna be salty, right? So it's kind of hard to please people. And then yeah, I think we kind of mentioned this, but there's only so many characters we can go to. So I dig that they chose someone that's kind of like a second or third party character. That doesn't really follow maybe the usual Nintendo rules or whatever.
I mean, come on, she gets more naked the more she attacks. That's not Nintendo at all. What's up with that? Yeah, but I really like playing as Bayonetta. While I'm not so sh like I mean, like we said, while I'm not so sure if I'm gonna be playing a lot as Corrin down the road, I could definitely see myself getting into playing Bayonetta.
Oh yeah, I probably won't be that good with her just because she seems like she has a high skill cap. But will I have fun with her? Oh, for sure. And I mean, I'll probably throw out the Corrin too, especially now. Like I said I was at a tournament yesterday. I was kind of doing like Corrin dittos and other stuff. Because it's DLC, it's fun, right? Like, and everyone wants to play with him basically. But yeah, down the road it'll kind of come to, like hey, like there's like what 58 characters in the game. I only have so much love to go around, if you know what I'm saying.
I haven't even thought about like the full number. Is it? I mean,
Yeah, I
up
heard
there.
58 yesterday. I didn't think about it
Jeez.
myself, and I just like looked at the screen and I'm like, oh God.
Wow, so
Where
many characters. I remember the days when it was like half
eight.
that number. Oh my gosh.
Dude, I still remember Smash 64.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I had a friend that I had a Nintendo 64 growing up, and I had a friend who didn't have a Nintendo 64, but he had a copy of Smash that he brought with him, brought with to his friends' houses that had Nintendo 64s, and so that's what we played whenever I'd hang out with him. And man, that was the bug, you know? It bit you, and then. I mean, we're still hooked right now. I mean, this is what, 15 years later, and I'm talking about it on the internet.
I mean,
What the
basically,
heck?
yeah.
Life is
Yeah, I
crazy.
pretty much like every Smash game, even Brawl. People can say what they want, but it's Smash. It's fun. It's fun playing with others. So.
Yeah, definitely. Smash is like is such a unique series. It kind of what I like about Smash is that it has such a long lifespan, and I'm not just saying that because I don't, because I'm a big hater of like the Madden system where you come up with a new game in a series every year. I don't particularly love that, but the main reason why I like the long lifespans of Smash is because it builds a narrative in your head almost that you can think back to a certain point in your life, and if you're a big fan of Smash, you think of it as okay, this. Well, these were the Melee days, okay? And I can remember the battles that we had then, and then it kind of carried on into the Brawl era, and then so on and so forth. And
You're
you
actually totally
kind
right. You're actually totally right because I still like vaguely remember like the day I got Brawl and like I was like completely snowing outside and have to like shovel all the snow out to get it, and then I just remember like setting up my TV. And but even that's like a very specific instance, but even more than that, like in a general sense, like yeah, I do remember like the days where I would play Melee with my family, and then like with Brawl, like I played that a lot with friends. Like I would do that at, like parties and other stuff. And I would honestly be like that guy that was like, it wasn't that I was like amazing. It was pretty much like everyone else sucked. So whenever we'd go to play Brawl, I'd just kind of dominate everyone, and they'd be like, "Yo, like thanks for showing us like how to how to not be bad at Brawl." And like now, like Smash 4, it's kind of different because I don't play with like people in person as much anymore. But now I have like different memories, like like I'm kind of like going driving out to tournaments now that I can drive more freely. Or I know I can play online now that online doesn't suck nearly as much as Brawl, right? So yeah, like I do have like different kind of sets of memories for each game, which is really nice.
No, yeah, you know, what I was going to say is I think you and I have a similar experiences with Melee in that that was kind of before that we spent all of our free time on the internet. And
right.
we didn't know every character that was in the game. We didn't know exactly how to get them like we do now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know about you, but I had a very specific experience of not knowing anything about Marth and Roy. I'm sure everybody and their grandma had this happen to them where they didn't know anything about Marth and Roy until they showed up on the Challenger approaching screen and they had to fight them. And it was like, it rocked your world because you think you know about Nintendo, but you don't. You don't.
Yeah, right.
They got all sorts of characters on that island that they're willing to throw at you. Gosh.
No, you're right. And I miss that, but it's just something that you can't replicate in this day and age, which is just, it's kind of a shame because you can't, like, I mean, you can pretend the internet doesn't exist, but you can't really get rid of it. Plus, it's really hard. I'm not going to do that, right? I'm not going to stay off the internet for 6 months just so that when I play Smash, you know, some of the characters I unlock are new. And
yep.
Even kind of the creators have kind of succumbed to that, right? Like, you're paying for characters now. Most of the characters are unlocked by default. And, like, the characters you do unlock, like, aren't as significant, I guess. So, yeah, I miss those days, but I feel you. They were pretty awesome. You know, unlocking characters. I hope more people try and do that at least. You know, like throw in the hidden bonuses.
Younger people, you know.
Yeah.
Like they don't have much to do. I mean, that's like I'm sure back in the day, Melee days, we could have found all that stuff on the internet, but we didn't. We didn't spend all of our time in front of computers.
I mean, the internet also kind of like stunk. Like there was like dial up basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Man.
God, my internet's like a billion times faster now, but I still have issues with it, which makes me like, am I just a bad person for complaining, or is it just like, I don't know.
Nah, whatever. Who cares, man? Something I do, I realize we're getting towards the edge here, but something I do want to mention, if you haven't, you the listener, okay, if you have not found out that you can... If you could not get a pre-order copy of Fire Emblem Fates for whatever reason, you do know you can preload a digital version onto your system. So, I mean, if you don't know that, crawl out from under the rock that you're living under.
And, you actually used the same correctly.
Just call that a callback. Crawl out from under that rock and go and do that because it's going to be... you don't want to have to try to download all those files that night if you plan
right.
on getting it that night.
No, I like that. Nintendo's getting with the times a little bit, right? At least for their big games. Because I remember, like, when Awakening came out, I've told you this story before, but I haven't told it to everyone else. I legit went to my school because I have way faster internet than at home, and I just mooched off the internet so I could download it as fast as I possibly could.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Pretty sure we were, like, in a Skype call or something when that happened.
I think we were.
Yeah.
Or at least in a chat of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. See, but now I have memories about that, so it wasn't that bad, really.
No, exactly.
Because I also, second part to that story is that I actually stayed on campus, played it practically all night, slept in a room on campus, not like a dorm room, I slept like in a room in a building, woke up 2 hours later and like went to class.
Wow.
So I pretty much like just played Awakening the whole day because I was so excited about it. I just like cannot. I don't want to go home and like. Or, like, sleep for 5 hours. I can play Awakening all night.
And maybe one day you two kids can be as big of a Fire Emblem fan as Blaze. Maybe if you try hard enough.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to be, but, you know, if that's your goal in life, I'm sure you can do it.
No, whatever.
Alright, so let's see. Current, if you haven't gotten him, I would say, would you say it's worth it, the $4.99?
I would say so if you I don't know, if you're just looking to scratch a Fire Emblem itch and you have enough money for one DLC character, I would probably prefer Roy, but I don't know. Maybe you didn't play Fire Emblem Six, and you're gonna play Fates.
Then
who knows? Who knows? Everybody's different. I think it's worth it just because.
Right. Just speaking in terms of value, is Kern worth $4.99, or is he more of $4?
I'm of the opinion that pretty much any character is gonna end up being worth $4.99. The reason being is that, like I said earlier, these games have 7-year lifespans. You're gonna be with these characters for 7 years at least. All right. I mean, it's $5.
Maybe.
You're not going to miss that $5 5 years from now.
You're right. What I will say is, rumor of NX Smash HD port, whatever. Well, it's already in HD, but, like, enhanced port. Have you heard that rumor?
No, I haven't. What are you talking about?
Oh, really? Okay. I was under the assumption that you did hear that rumor. So, basically, a rumor that went around a bit ago is that Namco Bandai, or I guess they're Bandai Namco now, are working on a bunch of, like, NX games, NX being the new Nintendo system that people are constantly spewing out nonsensical rumors for. But this is, like, a more legit rumor from a more legit source. And basically, Bandai and Namco worked on Smash, right? And so one of the rumors was that Smash is going to be a launch title from the NX. And then people were kind of saying, like, oh, well, you know, like, Smash 4 just came out. Like, we just got, you know, like, the final set of DLC. Like, if the NX were to come out in, say, this year, not saying that it will, it could come out next year. You know, it'd be really weird for Smash to be, like, a launch title, right? Because it'd be like, oh, man, they're, like, re-releasing a game that just came out not even 2 years ago. So what some people are thinking is it could be, like, an enhanced port where maybe they kind of, like, you know, make the graphics a little better. I don't know. I think stylistically, Smash is kind of the game where it wouldn't benefit a huge... Like, they could certainly improve it, because, like, I look at the hair of characters sometimes, and I'm like, alright, like, that's, like, last-gen hair, but...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Look at Kuren's hair. Like, first of all, I hate the style, no offense. Male Kuren's hair, specifically.
Yeah, he's got a weird...
I think it looks really ugly. But the other thing is, I also look at, like, Final Fantasy 15, and I'm like, alright, now that's how you do hair, right? But yeah, more to the point is they might update that and kind of update the online, and then, of course, like, include all the DLC in one package. So basically, maybe they'd put it out for, like, $40 instead of $60 and say, all right, like, all the DLC is here, it plays a little bit better, you know, come get it. Or people were thinking they might do a new game. I personally find that hard to see, just because Smash is always, like, has a long development cycle, it takes a long time, they kind of need to wait, even, because they need, like, more characters to put in, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like, I mean, I'm sure that's a big part of why they wait such a long time between
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, think about all the characters that didn't exist that now exist, like, that are in, like, okay, like, Shulk was not around when Brawl came. Same with, obviously, Karin, Bayonetta, you know, and various other characters. And then also, you know, like, getting third-party characters, you know, that takes time and building relationships and, you know, it's all that. So, yeah, I'm personally thinking if we do see it, we'll see an enhanced port. But that was mostly just kind of to counter your, you know, we won't see a Smash game for a long time. We probably won't, but we might see, like, a Smash 4.5, per se. So,
I guess if you think that is going to be the case, then yeah, maybe sure. Wait for that to come out. But if it does, then
right. I'm not betting on it, and I'm not waiting. Right?
No, absolutely not.
That won't be out for, you know, hypothetically 9 months to or more if it comes out next year. If it even happens. So yeah, I certainly think it's worth it. I'd say Kern is unique enough, and Bayonetta definitely is. Also, if you didn't know, the Fire Emblem stages, or rather, Coliseum on the Wii U has two new Fate songs. I think I mentioned that, actually. But basically, I heard both songs in the remix version. I think it's called Lost in Thoughts All Alone. Have you heard it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. I like that one better than the other one. The other one's kind of more, like, melancholy. It's like, dun-dun, like, or the deep piano sound.
Yeah,
this is not exciting as bad.
I don't mind those songs, but...
Oh, I don't either. It's just, like, for, like, a fight theme, it's not very epic.
Yeah, exactly. I just never really loved them in Smash games.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but that's all I gotta say. Any last words, Stu? Before I kill you? No, I can't.
I would say, if you were not a fan of the previous DLC characters to Smash, still pick up these two, because what we've been talking about all podcasts is how interesting and unique they are, and I feel like if you're a Smash fan, you have to see them. You just kind of do, you know? I mean, obviously, if it's between buying Smash DLC and paying rent, then, okay, put that money towards your rent. But I think, all in all, moral story, buy Corrin and Bayonetta. We might be biased, but...
Oh, we're definitely biased. But you chose to listen to us and listen to us biased people talk about biased things. So, there you go.
That much is true.
I mean, come on, it's a Fire Emblem podcast, and Fire Emblem now has, like, 8 representatives in Smash, so...
Crazy.
I think pretty much it. Which gets a lot of hate from non-Fire Emblem fans, but that's a different topic, and one that I actually don't have a lot to say on. No. So with that, that's episode 3 of season 4. We're actually, like, making progress. Hopefully we'll have another podcast soon. But that's it for me. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys later.